He didn't consider himself a bad man. He wasn't in any way like the other self-centered bastards in the consortium. They wanted to sow division and foster chaos because it would be better for their bottom line. He was disgusted by their greed, had accepted the consortium's overture only because he intended to use the group to achieve his aims, aims formed of conscience and hope and love for his people. To him, the consortium was a tool to help him mount a righteous revolution. Yes, he made ruthless decisions when called for, but that was in business. In life, in politics, he acted on the conviction of his heart, and that heart was telling him the Trinity Accord would lead to the destruction of all that he held dear. His beloved children, his accomplished and beautiful wife, they'd all be destroyed by this proto-federation agreement being touted as a force for unity. Psi, humans, changelings, people of all three races would be equal, all have a say in the direction of the world.
Bullshit.
He closed his hand into a tight fist on the aged cherrywood of his desk, the top inlaid with fine gold and semi-precious stones. It was a status symbol, this desk. Worth hundreds of times the yearly income of the common man on the street, it reminded him every day of what he'd achieved through determined intelligence and the genetic luck of the draw. Without the natural shield that protected his mind, he would long ago have become another casualty of Psi arrogance, another human psychically raped and violated by the emotionless, soulless bastards, his ideas and his freedom stolen. His eyes went to the photo of his wife on his desk. So much light in her eyes. That had been before. She still laughed. She still loved. But she hadn't been the same since that horrific day when she'd come up with an invention a Psi coveted. The monster had stripped her clean before the man who loved her to the core of his being could find a way to protect her. She no longer created, knowing it could be taken from her at any instant. But they were supposed to believe the Psi were turning over a new leaf, that they'd suddenly begun to respect the sanctity of the human mind. Throwing down the pen he'd picked up to sign a contract, he rose to his feet and, stepping out onto the balcony attached to his home study, looked down at the cool paradise of their white-tiled courtyard with its fountain in the center. His children's laughter drifted up from below, their small bodies hidden by the black plum trees that hung heavy with fruit.
Papa! Papa!
His boy ran out from under the trees, held up a toy truck.
Come play!
He smiled, his heart so full he could hardly bear it.
In a moment,
he called down.
Let Papa finish his work first. We'll play afterward.
Happy with the promise, the boy returned to his play while a little girl jumped into the fountain in laughing delight. Wild his daughter was, and the apple of his eye. How could it be otherwise when she was so like her mother? And his son. Oh, he loved his son too. So much. Enough to fight for a future where they wouldn't be used and discarded. Because if his informant was right, the Psi race desperately needed to harness human minds for some reason the informant hadn't yet been able to unearth. And whenever the Psi needed something from humans, the powerful psychic race just took it. No more. If that meant he had to become a monster himself, had to circumvent loyalties and buy betrayal, even order the death of a brilliant woman who, on the surface, appeared to have no bias in sending aid to various humanitarian crises around the world, so be it. Silver Merchant and Mnet were one of the foundation stones on which Trinity was built. But that foundation stone was set to break alongside several others. Soon.